It has been a week of stunning revelations from the Congressional Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Yesterday, lawmakers explained in detail how then-President Trump pressured his vice president to overturn the 2020 election, and it showed how rioters inside the Capitol came within 40 feet of Vice President Pence. Here's Pete Aguilar, a Democrat on the committee.
Make no mistake about the fact that the vice president's life was in danger. A recent court filing by the Department of Justice explains that a confidential informant from the Proud Boys told the FBI that the Proud Boys would have killed Mike Pence if given a chance.
Let's bring in Congresswoman Elaine Luria, a Democrat of Virginia, who also is serving on the January 6th committee. Congresswoman, thanks so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
And let's start with this information that the mob was just feet away from the vice president. Do you agree with that assessment that his life was in danger on January 6th?
You know, I do. When you go back and you watch these videos and you watch the anger and the vitriol and the chants, you know, bring out Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence, the mob just storming the Capitol, it's like it's very visceral to watch that. And, you know, it just feels like there was danger with that angry crowd, that angry mob with that objective 40 feet away from the vice president of the United States. So we are very lucky that he was whisked to safety off the floor and, you know, did not confront them directly.
There was also this revelation about one of the president's lawyers, John Eastman, who came up with the plan for Pence to overturn the election. Here's tape of investigators asking the vice president's general counsel, Greg Jacob, about that.
Did John Eastman ever admit, or as you know, in front of the president, that his proposal would violate the Electoral Count Act?
I believe he did on the 4th.
So we're hearing there that Trump was told 2 days before January 6th that what he wanted Mike Pence to do was illegal. In your opinion, does the evidence show that Donald Trump committed a crime?
I would say that it's very clear to me that he was told on numerous occasions, as we laid out in this hearing and other hearings, a variety of aspects of all of this plan were illegal. And you highlighted the meeting on the 4th, so the president, the vice president, Mr. Eastman, and as well as other legal advisors were there. And it was told to the president by the person who came up with the plan, the scheme, who was trying to encourage him to do this, in fact, that it was illegal. And he then went further to say, but this all relies on this thing called the Electoral Count Act, which is a law that's been on the books since 1887. Eastman, of his own accord, just decides to say, well, I think that's unconstitutional, so you should go ahead and do it. And, you know, then this continues over January 5th. January 6th, we laid out in a lot of detail, you know, this repeated pressure on the vice president's team by Eastman. Just a day earlier, he had admitted it on his own that, you know, this was doubtfully legal. This was not legal, but nonetheless, he was encouraging them to continue to go forward with it.
So the question is, what do you do with that information? There has been some disagreement among members of your committee, including from the chair, Benny Thompson, who said it wasn't the committee's job to make a formal criminal referral to the Justice Department. Is there still dispute about that? And will you suggest charges to the DOJ?
What I'll say is, you know, going back to the purpose of the committee, is the purpose of our committee is oversight of legislative recommendations, to provide recommendations to something like this can never happen again in the future. I'd also say this committee, like every congressional committee, if we become aware of crimes or criminal activity that's been committed, I feel that it's our duty that we have to refer that to the appropriate authorities. And it's not a disagreement about whether we provide or how we provide this information. Not only the Department of Justice, we are in the process of providing it to the public, but a criminal referral per se is just a transmission of information essentially to the Department of Justice, and how we'll do that, when will be the appropriate time to do that in the course of our investigation is something that's still being worked by the members of the committee.
Your committee wants to speak with Ginni Thomas. This is, of course, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. After the Washington Post reported that your committee had evidence she had communicated with the lawyer, John Eastman, and that her efforts to overturn the election were more extensive than we originally knew, she has said she would speak to the committee. Do you expect to hear from her? And what are you going to ask her if you do?
Well, I obviously welcome her testimony, as with anyone who, and everyone who has information relevant to the investigation that we're conducting. And, you know, we will ask her about the relevant information that we have that leads us to indicate maybe she communicated with people who are involved in this. But I won't go into any more specifics about, you know, what might be in the questioning. But certainly the reason that we'd like to sit down with her is to know what she knows and how that can help us paint a more full picture for our investigation.
The first committee hearing was in prime time, had 20 million viewers. The second, in the middle of the day, had less than that, which makes some sense according to Nielsen. Those are the numbers. Are you reaching enough people or changing anyone's mind about what happened that day on January 6th?
Well, I think we're reaching a lot of people. You know, more people are tuning in, more coverage of this, you know, outside just the hearings themselves than, you know, we would have perhaps predicted. And I think it really is capturing people. So I can tell you, I know I've been back in the district today. I was back last weekend as well. And, you know, anecdotally, the reaction I get for constituents across southeastern Virginia is that people are listening, they're hearing. And, you know, they may have heard pieces of this, bits and pieces through the news over the course of the last year and a half. But to put it all together, to paint a picture of, you know, just how broad and deep this conspiracy was, this plan, with the false electors, the Department of Justice, the pressure on the vice president, you know, different extremist groups such as the Proud Boys and Oathkeepers and how all it fits together, I really think it's shocking to people. And I'm getting that feedback that, like, we knew a little bit about this, but now we feel like we're getting the full picture.
Yeah, Congresswoman Elaine Luria, a Democrat from Virginia, serves on the House Committee investigating January 6th. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.